responsibility of supervising all that needed to be done. And I don't know if you've been ever involved in any repairs. It's easier to construct a new structure than to repair an old one. And it's not only organizing the materials and organizing the expenses and trying to juggle all that, but it's also drinking in and breathing in all the dust and the muck that has to come out of the rubble. And you're bound to get sick, physically, but also emotionally. But we want to say thank you very much, and I, on behalf of DCC, want to say a very, very big thank you to you, Stephen. And it's from my heart. Thank you very much for standing in the gap and doing the massive job of rebuilding this place. And we all want to say thank you, and let's express our gratitude with... should we do it? All right. Person to do the rest of the thank you is Stephen Bomber, so I hand the mic over to him.
Well, I've got a long list of thank yous to be mentioned. You know, as you know, with any work, it's never just one person doing the work. It's always a team effort. And in this particular case, there's been a lot of people, right from the local laborers to the guys who came from the US. And it's difficult to really put into words to express appreciation for each one's labor. We particularly, you know, when we think of local hired hands, the tendency is just to think, you know, they are paid for their work. But even though they have been paid for their work, there is particularly a personal interest which they take, and especially in the relationships that we develop with them. And that's something that has not particularly happened, I think, with non-Christians or, you know, secular field, but as believers, because of our love for the Lord, that we have a natural inclination, if you want, of the Spirit to develop relationships and really, in a sense, get to know each other. Just to backtrack a little, this building is, we've heard from one of our neighbors who has lived here, his family has lived here. This building is 110 years old, approximately. I can't tell you the exact year. And we don't even know if it was ever repaired in those 110 years. Maybe minor things, but I doubt anything major. If you remember the flooring we had, that stone was pretty worn out. And that takes at least 100 years to get into that kind of condition. Our roof was in bad shape, if you know, and if you remember last monsoon, we had to keep shifting our chairs to avoid the blessings from above in liquid form. And all that, I mean, you remember we had a bat staying at the back up there. We had a lot of this, that bamboo mesh, what do you call, matting, which was rotting and kept dropping off. Maybe some of you were baptized with it during service. But all that really affects us as people when we're worshiping the Lord. Yes,
building is not that important,
but
the surrounding does have its impact on you. And I'm sure that with all the changes, it has made it in some sense more conducive to worship God and to be able to concentrate on doing that, which some of us at some time or the other have found it difficult in this place. We started this work on the 21st of April by tearing off the roof and working on the loft at the same time. The loft work was done by a local contractor which we had got. His name is Ashok, the one-eyed man, and his team of local guys who came to do that work. And really we need to be appreciative of their efforts in doing that, doing up the loft, in really the whole design, you know, how to set it up, everything was by them. Vishram was a part of that, especially where the steel, vertical steel, and also advice in the whole strength of the structure was involved. We consulted with Vishram. We had that loft up in quick time, in fact. And so quick, in fact, we had 3 days to spare before the guys from the US came down to help us with the roof. And we were waiting for them. The team from the US, Ron, Mike, Andy and Dave, who you all met, and I hope you'll remember the service when we really thank them for their efforts in doing this. When they came down, there was a lot of, what should I say, Indo-American conferencing going on between the local laborers and them, and how exactly we should go about this roof. And we finally came to a decision on how we should do that. And these four guys, really speaking, the local Indian guys really couldn't figure out how these Americans want to make a roof in India when they have probably had no experience in doing something like this. Though they may be of construction background, but an Indian roof, if you want. And so it was quite amazing them to see these four guys every morning, regular, on time, up there on the roof, right through the day, except for a lunch break, till evening, working and slogging with them side by side. And doing quite a lot of the dangerous work of, you know, balancing on these beams when there's nothing underneath. That itself caused them to get to know the Americans, and the Americans to get to know the local guys. And I think you've heard from Ron when he shared about his interactions with them, and even people around here, and the interest that was that arose from seeing these white Americans up on a roof, on a hot tin roof. You know, because if you remember, we had a record temperature of 42.4, and I tell you, you could literally fry an egg on that roof. And we had these guys up there. So we really appreciate their work on the roof. And they finished, they did literally the whole thing by the time they left. It was, I think, the 12th of May. Only thing remaining was just fitting up a few more tiles on top of the tin. But the major work of setting these tin sheets accurately and, you know, getting it so that you don't leave gaps. And we've tested it in this monsoon, what we've had so far. There hasn't been any leakage, you know. Especially, you see, that round portion is the most difficult part to get your tin sheets. Even the Indians, for them, it was to get it around that without leaving any gap. And that was our major leakage point, where it used to trickle down all over the place from that center. So that was, it required a lot of effort, but it required brains also, and doing it, and coordinating your brain with your hands, and setting that up. We finished this, the local guys, after Ron and his team left, the local guys finished putting the tiles by about May 15th. And then we had, meanwhile, given the rest of this internal work on contract to a person called Mohan Sonavli and his team. He has a
something called Vastuve, and he found it initially difficult because of the constraints in size of working, as well as being able to store the material. The cantonment area in particular is pretty strict about you keeping stuff stored outside and blocking space, and our neighbors also have a tendency to complain on that. So it was difficult to balance when we bring material and where we can put it and what's going out and things like that. Even just bringing a truck in here is difficult, and really speaking, no heavy vehicles are allowed here, but by God's grace we didn't get fined for anything. Maybe the cops were sleeping, I don't know. But you know, really God was helping us in all those kind of minor details which you don't think of, but they add, let me tell you, when we talk about the stress, that adds to the stress. If you don't have a worry of what's going to happen the next day, including having four Americans on the roof and wondering what if one of them falls off. But Mohan started this work, and as we were going along, we kept having to make some changes, adjustments, additions, because we realized that if we do this, then you know, this needs to be done. And I'll give you one particular example, is this archway that we have. Remember, it's 110 years old, and the main arch is made of brick, but the portion above the arch is like your stone wall here, the same stone, and over the years that arch has begun to separate from the stone, and so there's a big crack right in the center. You may see a white line there. That's part of the crack. It goes right through and through. So it's enough to put your finger through. And when we removed the plaster and we saw this, it was very worrying. Whether that thing's going to come down any day, you know. Even Mohan and his guys were worried. And we also had two cupboards here, facing this way. Well, actually, that's just empty space, and the arch rests on two pillars, one here and one here, which is also made of brick, which is also cracked through and through, the whole thing. So a lot of the weight was being borne just by the wooden part of the cupboards holding it up over there. So when we did that, when we removed the plaster, we realized we have to do something about this, otherwise we are not, we are leaving it in a dangerous situation. So it involved, therefore, making channels, a framework of C-channels, what you call metal steel channels, right round inside those cupboards, and then rigging up these sides of the cupboard so that it acts as a support. Then we put a 2-inch plaster on top and a wire mesh to hold that. So things kept happening like that in doing the work, and we actually tried by getting a structural engineer to tell us what we can do, and he said you need to support the whole arch right round with metal beams, and he said he can't afford that. So we stuck to the chicken mesh and plaster. Maybe you need to pray that crack doesn't open again, because if it does, then we'll have to go in for proper support, the whole arch. But Mohan, and particularly I want to pick up one particular person of his, Pintu. What is he?
Pintaya.
Pintaya. From where is he?
Andhra.
He's an Andhra guy. But really, I mean, that man was, I mean, he's dedicated to his work. Forget about pay. You give him the job, he does it, and make sure he does it. And he's honest, really honest. I mean, I left this whole place literally in his hands. And I mean, there was nothing to rob as such. He could have broken the cupboard, but there was a lot of material lying around, which was costly. But his trustworthiness was something really to be thankful to God for. This small, simple village laborer, you know. Really. And all of them knew that this is a church, and what they're doing is working to build a church, which is, in their eyes, particularly a holy place. So, we really need to appreciate Pintu. Even Mohan, on his part, Later on, if you've not seen it at the back room, we've made it to a small bathroom for the kids to have a shower. Mohan has not charged us labor for that, only the material cost. That was just from his side. He said he won't charge us any labor, but just we had to pay for the material to make that bathroom. So, you know, I also, because we are doing this the whole internal work, we had to strip off all the wiring, remove everything so that the whole place can be plastered. And that's another person really who I appreciated, the man who did the electrical work. His name is Balu. Very simple guy, and again, very sincere, very honest, and you know, just good work. I mean, if you look at it, it's good work. And I was very pleased. And again, he was the kind of guy, I didn't have to sit and watch each moment and, you know, check whether he's doing the right thing. He understood what I wanted, and he knew how to go about it. And I didn't have to really worry about it. So that was another person, Balu, who was involved. But I mustn't forget, of course, that in all of this work, working with me, helping to coordinate it was Virendra. And I'm not a businessman, you know, particularly in dealing with laborers and contractors and knowing how to deal with it. That is Virendra's forte, if you want. So it was always in consultation with Virendra. You know, sometimes there was a tendency of work to slow down, and then Virendra would make a call and he would pick up again. So I really want to thank Virendra for his work in just helping me, even in giving ideas and in even the technical side of suggestions and working out details of the work. During the 23rd of May to 1st of June, both Virendra and I left for Delhi to attend a course on biblical counseling. And I want to thank Chris during that particular time that he, and again, God worked it out so that Chris was back in time, just in time, to be here while we were away to keep an eye on things at Golshala and the work that was still going on. And a major time was taken by this flooring in its laying and then its polishing, which is a laborious task. And if you look at your flooring also, you will see that it's good work, because you try and put a fingernail into any of those joints. I mean, it's so set so close, you know, really speaking, which is requires skill, very skilled workers. After we finished the internals, of course there are a few more finishing touches to be done. We don't have the door for the bathroom, for instance, and the back area still needs to be cleaned up and worked out. But after we have finished all of the major work, we've decided to go into the painting and the partition. And again, Chris was involved in getting that painting done, and Ivan and Manoj for doing the partition. Doesn't look neat. I mean, it sets out, you know, this partition. When you go inside, you partition into for the kitchen. We really got guys who know their stuff, in a sense. And I'm really grateful for each one of them in helping out in doing this. But besides all the people who are involved in that sense, labor-wise and supervision, we want to also give a real thank you to those who helped fund this work. And if you remember, when we started, we were not really sure how much money we were going to get to do the work. But we initially had the first donation coming from Peter and Brenda's church in England, St. Luke's, and we want to really thank you all for helping us in getting that funding, which helped us for the loft in particular, getting the loft up. We also had, when Chris went to the US, Dr. John MacArthur gave a substantial amount for the internal work, and I also read out to you those during that time, one of the Sundays, the email that this had sent, particularly about how the funding came about and really how it was God who supplied our needs, you know, as we trusted Him. And that was, that funding was enough to do this internal work. But BCC has also given to this work. If you remember, before we started anything over here, we did the toilets and the whole that portion. And that was funded totally by BCC. As well as the partitions and the painting has been done by funds provided by BCC. So a real thank you to each and every one of you all for contributing to that. And then, I mustn't forget the Mukti Yojana, which was displaced in a sense while we were working over here, and the kids and Nilima and Sujata who had to move, and that itself was a work in itself, transporting everything, getting everything settled down. And we want to thank the woodpeckers, Rossi and Subhash Woodpecker, for St. Andrew's School providing us that place and to stay there, to keep the kids who are cooking. And the kids really enjoy that place because it's got so much, you know, open space to play and walk around. And then we shifted, because we didn't finish the work in time here and St. Andrew's School had to start, we shifted to Bible Center. And I want to thank Chandu and Karen for Bible Center and all the staff of Bible Center who were actively involved with the kids. And we gave them a farewell just when they shifted back here now. Nilima and Sujata, who were looking after the kids day and night, and it was an extra effort on their part. I also remember Rhoda and Emma, who in the absence of Nina took on the work of coordinating and doing all the various tasks that needed to be done in the area of shopping and keeping the kids occupied, medical things, all that running around. They did a great job on that. We had a lot of other people helping us, the Shinde family, Sunita Shinde, Mrs. Shinde, Sushma, Smita, Brenda used to come over, help with the kids, Sylvia, Sukhvinder, one of our latest discoveries as a teacher, and Neelu. All these people who give their efforts in some way or the other to be with these kids and really keep things going till we could get them back here. And getting back here and getting organized again was again another real work in itself yesterday. If you were here, I mean, it looked like some kind of tornado was passing through this place. Everything scattered all over the place. It looked a mess. But we got it ready for church this morning. And so really from myself and from the whole of BCC, a big thank you to all of you, for all the work. Number 1, 2, and 3. We are one.
Of worship of this church, so I'll ask Benny to do that right now. You can show them the drum machine as well, whatever that is. We need to pray.
Which are very good quality, and we were looking around for a drum machine which we could not get out here, and when Chris went, the high school, the youth of Master College, they are the ones of Grace School, the Grace School Church, the youth, they gave away their drum machine for our use, and it's a very good Allison's HR16. It's not the latest model, but very, very good for us. Unfortunately, it's just there's a size snag right now, which is why we couldn't use it today. But let's pray that we'll be able to sort that out and we'll be able to use this machine for our daily, for our weekly use, as well as whenever we, if and when we put up any programs elsewhere, especially our youth and our church. Really want to thank God for this gift, and do pray that we'll be able to repair this in time for next Sunday. Before we pray, just read out a couple of verses which you point out now, and which is from 2 Chronicles, continuing with the dedication of the temple, and chapter 7, verse 6 onwards. The priests took their positions, as did the Levites, with the Lord's musical instruments, which King David had for praising the Lord,
and which were used when he gave thanks, saying, His love endures forever. Father God, we want to thank you right from the bottom of our hearts and deeply for all your gifts and provisions in the start of rebuilding of our church. And so, Father, we really want to commit these instruments that you have made possible for us to have for our use, which is the sound system and the drum machine. And Father, we do pray that as we dedicate these, we do pray that these would be used only and only for your glory and for worshiping you. And we really want to praise you and thank you for your gift to us. We do pray that as we offer our praises to you Sunday after Sunday and each time we meet you, we do pray that they'll be pleasing in your sight. And you will pray, Lord. Amen.
The customs officers who were on duty on the day I landed, every one of those officers on duty, there were about 6 to 8 of them, came around the Alexis machine saying that I have to pay duty, even though it's free, and given as a gift to us. And after an hour and a half of haggling over this and some other things I bought for a friend, it was wonderful to see how God turned their minds away from the demand for duty, and they said, well, we want you to pray for us, and you please go away now. And so we didn't pay anything. But I think there is a huge responsibility, more costly than duties would have had to be paid, in that commitment I made to pray for these customs officers. They said to me, really, that the prayers of people like you more valuable than the prayers that we can get from our own leaders. And that kind of really encouraged me, and I thought it was worthwhile sweating it out in the customs area for over 1.5 hours with some of the welcoming party waiting outside, wondering what I was doing. And besides these bits of equipment, that didn't come from overseas. That came from the offerings that you all have given, the sound system. And but besides this Alexis drum machine, one of our friends who had been here, I think a couple of years ago, Ty Knudsen, he works in a computer company, and I don't know how it's connected to Adidas, but there was some connection, and Adidas kind of was getting rid of their sample stocks, and so I saw some things, and he said, why don't you take some of these away? There were bags and all kinds of things, so I took some for Sammy and myself, but then there were caps there, and I didn't know what Rhoda was up to here. She was always up to something, but she had apparently shaved off the hair of all the kids, without permission, by the way, and
being repaired, being refurbished, made new.
breakfast. May it bless the men and women that we are blessed. Men and women who can pray. Men and women who can give from their hearts. Men and women who can give with their hands and their feet. And even their minds and the planning and the design and the coordination and the supervision. We thank you for each and every man, woman, and child even who has set their minds or their hands to the task. We also thank you for the materials that you provided us. Good materials, excellent quality, and the craftsmen put to good use. And then of course, there is the money, without which the materials could not have been purchased, the craftsmen could not have been paid, and the work could not have been completed. We thank you for the manpower. We thank you for the money. We thank you for the materials. We ask you to bless all these to your praise and glory in this refurbished Gold Shala, which we dedicate to your honor and glory in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. You've heard much, and I don't want to sermonize, but as I was praying last night in relation to the dedication, and even this morning, the Lord gave me an image, and the image came from working. We are on the finishing touches of the Gold Shala. As Stephen mentioned, Manoj and I took on the partitions, which you see right behind us here, right behind me at least, and inside, which you do not see. And the first thing to do with partitions is measurement. And so we started to measure up the place upstairs, downstairs, and the measurements that you measure them turn out to be a little different than what they seem to our eyes. So that surprises even when you start to measure. You find it doesn't measure up to what you think you have seen. Okay. So there are surprises there. And the things that seem fairly straight, then you go on a plumb line. And this is no criticism of the workmanship. That is just the way you have to work with what you're given. As Chris said, it is much more difficult to repair something than to build a new. And the task that Stephen had was to work with what was here below the roof or below. I have heard little details of what he discovered as he started to strip away this structure. You've heard some of it about the weakness of the arches and so forth. All these brought to mind one thing that God has us to work with. It is not that we come to him brand new. Okay, that he doesn't start with something completely new. Yes, behold, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. But he takes what he gives, which is us. I don't want to go into adjectives like filthy and all this broken and things, but it's all there. We're pretty much a mess when we come into the Lord's hands. And that reminded me of the little skit that the Lord put on for Jeremiah. So Jeremiah is a very dramatic mess. I mean, who says there isn't guilt in the Bible? There's plenty of it in Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah 18 at the potter's house, God asks him to go down to the potter's house. Now there's one thing that stands out that he sees. He says in verse 4 of chapter 18 that the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And that is exactly the image that came to my mind as I reflected on the work that has been done here in Gold Shala. Even as the structures of the partitions had been formed and put together on the ground here and then lifted up and built them up against the floods, there were little nasty surprises. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I kept saying, oh, no, we measured it and it has to be, it's not churches are not strict, but they are more strict. And so we are trying to fill in the gaps. And Stephen, you know, standing in the gap, that's a different expression. And before I get carried away with my metaphors, what we discover is that a lot of little gaps will be filled. There are cracks that you can put your finger into, or, you know, one old hand with one little thing that he said, one of these little fellows can't even go through it. He said, no, you can't go through it. I said, well, watch. The guy can actually go through, so we have to cover it up. So there's a lot of closing up. That is the finishing job that had to be done. And so it is with us, that when we come to the Lord, as clay in His hands, we are actually not just clay that He picks up. Like He picked up clay and formed Adam out of. We are already Adam in our sinfulness. We are parts that are marred, and it puts us on the wheel. And sometimes it takes some breaking. That's the painful part. But the breaking is in order to remake. And He molds us until He is pleased. And so, as we go through the dedication of the Lord's Shabbat, let us not forget that the ultimate thing that we are doing today is rededicating ourselves. And in some cases, I pray that it might be even a first-time dedication of ourselves to the Lord Jesus, who would put us on the wheel and refashion us to the point that we are formed anew until we are pleasing in His sight. Jesus. to receive 5,000 rupees right from you. Lord, I also thank you for the one who gave 100 rupees. And I think of a little child who gave 10 rupees a few months ago before I left. I remember that Lord before you.
Beans.
Strata of society.